If you will, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, looking down to verse 19. Let's go back to verse 16. We'll pick that up there to give us a little context. We're at the tail end of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, the Word of God says, "Then the 11 disciples," remember there's 11 now because Judas has killed himself, "went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Things haven't changed a whole lot. There are still some who doubt and some who worship. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage this morning. As we look at it, we ask for the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of your word, that he would help us to understand, apply what we're going to hear, and then be obedient in response. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that what I read this morning is not something brand new to anybody. In fact, it's probably another missionary with another great commission message. I had been praying for quite a while in preparation for coming back to the States, and I think this is the second time now since we've been back a short time that I'm preaching in English. And it's kind of fun, you know, to preach and remember preaching in English. But it's not a shocker. This passage that I read to you is called the Great Commission. Now, it's interesting, the word great, we understand the word commission. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea that we can choose to do or not. But it is a mandate from God himself. And we call it the Great Commission. Great because of who gave it to us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's great because of its scope. It is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is great because of what it offers. And that is salvation to all who believe, forgiveness of sins. And it's great because of how long it lasts. Christ himself said, until the end of the world, amen. The Great Commission is the job that God, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, gave to those 11 men and other disciples, and to us as a local church, the responsibility of evangelizing, of making disciples in our world. He repeats it. It is, we read it here in Matthew chapter 28, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, he says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then in John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And his last earthly words before ascending back into heaven, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And with that, we have a perfect outline of the book of Acts, of that early church in obedience to that great commission. Now, there's a few things I would like us to see as we consider that great commission. The very first thing is the power. Jesus, when he started out there, he looked at this group of disciples. Now, they'd been through some rough days. We go back to John chapter 13 when Jesus was talking to them and telling them that he was going to die. Now, that shook them up. But he said, as we know in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. And then he continues in that where he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas looked at him and said, you know, where are you going? And he said, you know, he said, how can we know where you're going? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, they were kind of shook up about the fact, and there was a real lack of understanding on their part. We look back at the cross and what it means and the resurrection. They were looking forward. They had a lot of prophecies about it. But the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is looking at these 11 disciples on the side of a mountain, and he tells them the first thing he starts out, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority. Now it's important that before he tells them what they're going to be doing, he assures them that he has the power and the authority to ask them to do it. This is the foundation of the Great Commission. Without authority to commission, without that power, there is no power to go. There's no power to preach. There's no power to believe. And he says, all power is given unto me. Jesus left no room for any other person at this moment when he said, all power is given unto me. He's making clear here his authority, his power, in order to tell them what they are going to do. He delegates some of his authority to his followers to bring the message of salvation to lost souls. No one has the right to go without the authority and without the power. And Jesus said, I've got it, and I'm going to give it to you. Paul clearly understood that authority of Jesus Christ to ask him to do that. Now, as you're sitting here this morning, here in Cambria, that same commission that Jesus Christ gave to those 11 disciples on the side of a mountain, they are your responsibility as well. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now when you say, how are we going to do that? That's a big job. And that's the importance of understanding that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the all-powerful God. And he said, I've got that power, and I am commissioning you based upon that authority, upon that power, for you to go. I'll never forget, and I've shared it hundreds of times, I would imagine, the very first Bolivian that I had the privilege of winning to the Lord. I think I thought, we didn't make a survey trip. God stirred our heart for Bolivia, and that's probably the biggest question I get asked. How do you know Bolivia? How did you know that's where God wanted you? Well, God stirred, used a lot of different, his word, prayer, circumstances, and I didn't make a survey trip. So the first time that we got to Bolivia, I was with my wife and three children. The youngest was 6 months old. We got off the plane, and I thought, well, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to say, I feel like I've been here before. I feel like I belong here. I feel like destiny has. I got off that plane, and I'm telling you, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. It was, and to be honest with you, what was in my mind on that first day as I looked around, we had spent time in Mexico in a language institute. I thought I knew Spanish, but they didn't teach Bolivian Spanish. There were lots of words that Quechua language had come into Spanish there, and their accent was different. And I got off, and I looked around, and I said, "Man, what did I think I was doing? How am I going to do this? I've got these churches that I preached in. I said, hey, if you pray for me and you support us, I'll be your ambassador, and I'll take the gospel and help you to fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world." And I thought, how am I going to do this? It seemed absolutely overwhelming. We began to pray about where we should start there in the city. Today, Tarija has a population of around 350,000 people. So it's a good size city. In those days, a lot less. And we began to pray about a neighborhood, a barrio, they're called there, where we would start. Somebody said, have you ever heard of Tabladita? There are in Tabladita 10,000 minor families, minor meaning from the mines of Potosí. And they've relocated them because the mines are playing out. So they brought them here, and there's 10,000 families up there, and there's no church anywhere in the whole brand new community. We went up and we began to walk over the community, kind of like Joshua. You know, everywhere the sole of our foot touches, we're going to claim it. For I was excited. This is what God is going to do. We began to knock on doors, and finally, somebody invited us in, Francisco. We went in and sat down. I was ready for him. I had learned verses. I had practiced my Spanish. I'd even preached in the mirror so I could see how I looked when I was speaking Spanish to him. And boy, like a gospel shotgun, I let him have it with both barrels. Just boom! I got done. My heart was pounding, and I thought, this is it. He looked at me and he said, "Well, thank you very much for coming." And that's a nice Bolivian way of saying. So I said, "Well, I'm not done. Can I come back?" And Tarijeños, people from Tarija, are very, very gracious people. It's hard for them to say no. And he said, "Well, if you feel like you're not done and you need to come back, okay, how about next Friday?" So I went back the following Friday. This time I learned more verses. I practiced more and let him have it again with the gospel, with verses from the Old Testament, the New Testament. And I got done, and he said, "Well, thank you. Did you finish?" I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Friday?" I said, "Okay." 4 weeks in a row, I tormented these poor people with, you know, my Spanish. And I left their house that night after another night of no response, and I felt like such a failure. And I had stayed too long, missed the last bus, and I was walking down the side of the mountain, the stars, the moon, just beautiful. And I looked up into the heavens, and I'll never forget this moment because it changed my life. I looked up, and in frustration, in fear, I shouted out, "God, I can't do this." And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I knew exactly what God wanted me to understand. "No, Paul, you can't, but I can." You see, he has all power, all authority. And I went home and I began to pray and fast, and you can tell fasting, I should fast more. I went home and I prayed and I fasted. And God stirred my heart. "Go back up and just tell them your testimony. Tell them what I've done in your life." 17-year-old, sick of religion, church. Somebody invited me to church, and I went in and I heard the gospel. I'd heard Jesus, his name. I'd heard that he'd died. I had heard that he'd risen from the dead. But that day, the Holy Spirit took all of those things and applied it to my heart. And I understood he did all of that for me. He died for me. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what most Bolivians have, is they have religion. And a lot of them are sick of it, just like I was. And I went back up and I said, "Francisco, you've been so kind and so gracious and so patient. Tonight I'll finish." And I shared my testimony. I got done. I stood up. I thought, well, this is not where God's going to work. I'm just going to trust the Lord that whatever door he does open. I stood up and Francisco looked at me and said, "Sit down." He said, "That is what I need." And that night, with great big tears running down his face, Francisco trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and passed from death to life, from darkness to light. And then his wife sitting next to him, she said, "Are you in a hurry? Can I do that too?" You know, and I wanted to say, "Am I in a hurry? You have no idea how long I prepared just to be at this moment right here." No, I'm not in a hurry. She trusted Christ. 3 of their 4 children trusted Jesus Christ. The littlest one had given up by that point. She was sound asleep, and she got saved a little bit later in the story. But I knew then that God, the best thing about being a missionary is that God places me in places and in positions where I know I can't do it. And if God doesn't work, I'm going to fail. You see, that's the confidence that I can stand before you and say, you have a job to do. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It seems overwhelming. How can we do it? There's only one answer. You can't do it, but God can if you allow him to work in your life and in you. Not only did he promise power, he even told them what to do. He gave them the plan. The Great Commission is a call to action. Go, preach, baptize, teach, make disciples. The disciples of Jesus Christ were not to be passive. They were to shout it from the rooftop. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." And the church, those disciples, and those 11 apostles, finally a 12th one by this point, and the early believers, that first church, exploded when they responded to that power, and they did it the way God told them to. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, about 3,000 people believed as a result of the preaching of Peter and the other disciples. In Acts chapter 4, another 5,000 are added to the church. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it simply says the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And by the time Paul wrote his epistle to the Colossians, he said the gospel which is come unto you as it is in all the world, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. It's clear they responded. They were obedient. God gave them the means, the power, the opportunity to do it. And we need to follow their example. The word go is a big part, obviously, of the Great Commission. Go ye. We have to, in going, we have to do these things to preach the gospel to every creature. I think that some of you probably remember a little bit of our testimony. We came off of the field, and I felt because of the health of one of our boys, God was shutting the door there. We came back. We came to the Hillsdale area. And I became pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. They're on Spring Street in Hillsdale. And I pastored there for the next 5 years. I thought God had shut the door. And then God began to work in circumstances in our lives, and revealing to us that it was his plan for our lives to go back to Bolivia. And we returned in 1999. So we've been back 21 years in the country of Bolivia. By that time, by 1999, our oldest boy was married and had his first child, and who was a little tiny boy. And I'll never forget sitting at the table explaining to him what was going on with Papa and Grandma. And I told him that God had called us. It was that was time for us to go, and explaining as well as I could for a little boy to understand. I'll never forget, he looked up and he said, "Papa, why do you have to go?" That was a hard one. And the only thing I could tell him is, because God asked me to. All authority is given unto me, Jesus said. Go ye, therefore, into all the world. Now, God's not going to call everyone to go to Bolivia. Although, if you're interested, talk to me. Yeah, we need some help. As you can tell, we're not spring chickens. More like fall turkeys, maybe. I don't know. But God has a place in the Great Commission for every one of you. In the fulfilling, in his strength, in his power, in his provision, that the gospel reaches every single person on this planet. To go, to proclaim, to make disciples. A disciple is an apprentice, a person who follows the teaching of another. And the followers of Jesus Christ, they are called to be followers of Christ, and then to train and prepare others to go out and to make disciples. That is a major part of the ministry there in Bolivia. We have a discipleship ministry. We have discipleship one, which is 16 lessons that a new convert goes through one-on-one with an older believer, or a more mature believer, I should say. They get saved, and the job's not done. We can't say, well, we finished, we fulfilled the Great Commission, they got saved. That's the beginning of our responsibility. We are to make disciples. We start out with those 16 lessons. The first one is on how you know for sure that you're saved. To just confirm what they did. The second lesson is on eternal security. That once you're saved, that you are eternally saved. That you can't lose it. That it's not up to you to hang on to it. God holds on to you. And the third lesson is baptism. And then it goes on from there. And our goal is to teach and to train men to go out and to make disciples, to go into all the world. And we praise the Lord that there in Bolivia, that we are seeing them responding and fulfilling the Great Commission. He told them where to go, all nations, all people. He explained, and then he ended it by saying to them in that Great Commission, He told him to teach whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he gave him a promise at the very end of that Great Commission. He said, all power is given unto me, go ye. And then he said, I'll be with you. You're not going to be orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. He gave them that promise of the great in that Great Commission. And Jesus was there. He was there when persecution hit the church. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was there when Peter faced the dilemma of the gospel going to Gentiles. He was there when Herod killed James and imprisoned Peter. He was there when Paul and Silas were thrown into the Philippian jail. Jesus was there. Jesus was there when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Jesus was there, and Jesus is with you and I today. He's with us. All power. Here's what you do, and I promise I'm going with you. I'll be with you. What a privilege it was when the church there in Tabladita, one of the first churches, got a vision and a burden for supporting missionaries. They support three missionaries right now. One of them is a missionary, a Bolivian man, that the church supports in the city of Oruro, which is probably the darkest, most pagan city in the country of Bolivia, known particularly for Carnaval, if you've heard about that at all. It's a time of wickedness and ungodliness. The theme one year was turn the keys to the city over to the devil. It is an unbelievable throughout the whole country, but in particular, Oruro. Tabladita supports a missionary planning a church, preaching the gospel there in Oruro. And this year we took a group up there, like a mission team from the church, going up to help the missionary. We did a little construction on their building, as well as knock on doors. And I had the privilege of preaching and teaching. And it was a real blessing. Sunday afternoon after I'd preached, now, I'm winding down. I know that I don't want to make you late for lunch. If you want to know of a long service, though, that's one of the services in Oruro started at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening and ended at 1 o'clock on Sunday morning. So I'll get you out of here before that. I promise, yeah? But I'd preached that morning. It was translated into Quechua, and we were sitting around waiting for lunch, just like you're doing, and the pastor came up to me, the missionary there, Rene Miraval, and he came up and he said, one of the young men in the church brought his grandma, and he wants her to get saved. He's worried about her. She's quite elderly and in poor health. Would you talk to her? Now, I kind of wondered why he couldn't talk to her, you know, but maybe he's thinking one old person would relate to another old person. So I said, sure, I'll talk to her. So we went up, and as we were approaching her, He said, oh, by the way, she doesn't speak Spanish. So I looked at him. He said, she only speaks Quechua. He said, but I'll translate whatever you say. So I began to talk to her about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to be saved. And she was in agreement, nodding all the way through as each time I said something, he translated it. And when I got to the end of it, I said, would you like right now to place your faith in Jesus Christ? Would you like to make that decision of faith and accept Christ? All of a sudden, she looked a little panicked, and she said, well, I don't hear that well, and I'm not sure, and I came because my grandson made me come, and he said, just make her do it. I'll explain it to her later. I said, that's not really how it works. You know, I can't just make her get saved. You know, he said, I don't know how long she's got left. I don't want her going to hell. Just make her do it. I said, well, we'll just keep, you just keep talking to her and it'll work out. And so I said, let's just pray and we'll leave it at that. While I was praying, when I finished, there was a woman sitting behind me who was also waiting for lunch. And she said, excuse me, but I would like to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. She said, I don't speak Quechua and I don't speak Spanish. I speak a little bit of both, and I understood enough to understand what I need. Would you talk to me for a minute? You know, I wasn't even thinking about her. And that's the power of the gospel, isn't it? So we turned around. She trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And when she was praying and asking God to save her and placing her faith in Christ, while that was going on, a woman behind her who didn't speak Aymara but who spoke Quechua, she began to pray and ask Jesus Christ to be her Lord and Savior. You know, that's the power of the gospel. It goes anywhere, into any tongue, to any people. And if by faith it is accepted, it brings salvation. The Great Commission. Go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this time that we have together. We ask that each one of us would look at our own lives and say, what can I do? How can I have a part in this? And can I go? Many times we pray, God, do you want? Maybe we should offer and say, God, here I am. Send me. We can pray. We can give that others might go. But every one of us has a responsibility in the Great Commission. We ask that the Holy Spirit would stir hearts, bring true conviction, and the power, not only the desire, not only the willingness to do, but the ability to do it. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.